Hallelujah. I don't know what kind of week you've had, but if you've had a hard week, a difficult week where you've sort of struggled through difficult situations, I tell you, any given moment, the Lord just wants you to look to Him, just to press into Him. And, you know, ask that question, what is it what He would do in this situation? And then start to walk with Him. Start to talk with Him as you turn your heart and your attention to Him. Looking unto Jesus. It's not something that we do once a week, church. It's something that we can do all the time. Find His grace. Amen? Find His grace and help in time of need. Hallelujah. Well, we've just had Easter services, and maybe you want to take your seats and get comfortable. Just had our Easter services, and again, we were just reminded through the service just how much the Lord has done for us at the cross, and how He made the way in to the Holy of Holies open for us. That veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And there's not now a ceremony about how you go in. We can go in at any given moment. We just got to sometimes gather ourselves, gather our thoughts, gather our thinking, and just go in. Just go into His presence. And of course, you know, that's through prayer. We understand that. Remember, we've got the sequence. We understand the sequence. Prayer, presence, power. Power to turn our circumstances around. Power to turn our situations, you know, on their head if they're negative and bad. You know, that's just, but we've just got to take that moment to get into His presence through prayer. Praise the Lord. The secret place of the Most High is when we pray. Just get that. It's when we pray. That's the secret place of the Most High. Go looking for that location on your GPS. You won't find it. Where's the secret place of the Most High? Maybe you should type that into Google Maps one day and see what it says. But I can tell you now, you'll find out that it's just that place of prayer where you turn your heart to Him. And of course, He immediately receives you where you are, no matter what you're facing. Amen. Well, we serve a good God. Thank you, team. That was excellent heartfelt worship there. I know that the Lord's just wants to minister to us. And again, as you know, we're sort of getting ready for guest ministry this coming week. Coming into this next week, I felt the Lord really saying that we as a church should prepare our own hearts to receive and to receive from that guest ministry that John Mellor is. He's a fivefold minister, a gift. John's is a ministry gift, a fivefold ministry gift of evangelism. Surprise, surprise, that he should also have the Holy Spirit gift of healings and miracles operating in his life as well. That very much suits the evangelist, doesn't it? You know, as the evangelist comes, they're not going to stay around and teach you for 6 weeks. They're usually going to go. So they'll come, gifts, miracles, people. There's an attraction there, and we all as a church be praying for this ministry that's coming. For any other reason, that we want to see other people's lives touched as well, not just our own. I know some will have healing needs and be praying about that and seeking the Lord, looking to receive ourselves if we have healing needs in our body and in our physical needs, but also be praying for others. So very important that we get our hearts right. Hallelujah. If you want to see some of the testimonies of healings going on in John's ministry, that, as I say, mentioned earlier on, they're happening all the time. You can go to his Facebook page, John Mellor. It's M-E-L-L-O-R. John Mellor Ministries. Go to his Facebook page, and they've just got testimony after testimony. Some just going off very recently as well, which are, again, very exciting. How many of you know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are over in that arena of sudden happenings? Sudden happenings, you know, it happens suddenly. It's not like you wake up in the morning and you feel that this is your day, that you're going to receive the healing or whatever it is that you need. Sometimes it's just suddenly that the Lord just moves and ministers in that area. You can have people sitting there, you can have three people sitting there, and one person will receive a healing suddenly, the other two people are believing to receive, but they don't necessarily receive right there and then. Is that okay? I think we got to just get that right now, that there's nothing wrong with us if we don't receive. If one of the three people that are sitting, then you don't receive a healing. That's okay. And we need to be sure and check our hearts, make sure we don't get that wrong. You know, how come God didn't heal me? That person got healed. What's wrong? What's wrong with me? Why didn't I get? We got to just check our hearts and get right with that right now and prepare ourselves. Because sometimes we are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you read your Bible, the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate as He wills. Doesn't mean He doesn't want you healed. And maybe you're going to receive your healing by prayer and fasting. Maybe you're going to receive your healing one day by just sitting under the word and just receiving yourself at home. All I'm saying is, don't get offended. Don't get upset. Don't go away with that disappointment if you feel that. And not only that, but be ready to encourage others who might just be looking a little bit down because of it. Okay? Just want to put that out there. The gifts of the Holy Spirit operate as He wills. Amen. Not as we will. And you can read that over there in 1 Corinthians 12. And as much as we should be coming to meetings like ours and this one that we're going to be having this coming weekend, believing to receive, we should know that, the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate as He wills. And so, you know, no different to the prophetic gifts. Anyone that's operated in the gifts of the Spirit will know that you just can't find the switch somewhere and go, I know, I'm going to operate a gift today. Turn the switch on and start operating in the gift. The gifts don't operate that way. They operate as the Spirit of God wills. No different to prophetic or anything else. In preparing our own hearts to receive from the Lord this next weekend, I believe it's important that we pray that we have open heaven. I'm going to ask the congregation of Victory Life Broome to just be praying over this church and the open heaven that we enjoy, just to maintain that. I believe it's important to be looking to our own hearts, what goes on in our own hearts as well, very much, our own readiness to receive from the Lord and the ministry gift, and take time to remove any hindrances or any obstacles to our receiving. You could have an obstacle sitting in your heart right now that would, you know, something that needs to be dealt with. You see, there are hindrances to receiving from the Lord. And a classic example is found over there in the Gospel of Mark. And I just want to look at that scripture, classic example of it. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. And it says, and Jesus went on from there and came to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. Where did this man get these ideas? They asked, what is the wisdom he has been given? And how can he perform such miracles? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't they his sisters? Aren't his sisters here with us as well? And they took offense at him. Ooh. Wow. Why would you do that? Why would you take offense at him? Well, it's amazing how offense begins, isn't it, really? In this case, it started with some simple questions. And you know, the thing is, church, all of us have the same mind that works the same way. Simple little questions can lead to offense. And offense is such a blockage from what God wants to do in our lives. Where does, you know, they started to ask those simple questions. Where does he get these ideas from? Who does he think he is to get up there and say that? Very quiet now in this Pentecostal church. How does Jesus have this wisdom? Where does he get it from? Sometimes we can find ourselves thinking, who are they to say that? How can he do these miracles? These were not questions that came from seeking to know God. It was not a healthy desire to understand and believe that was going on here. These questions that came from an unhealthy, carnal thought base and seeking to find fault and even to undermine. That's where it came from. That's what was happening with these guys. Classic example of how offense starts. Starts with the wrong questions and entertaining those questions and thoughts, even sown by the enemy, to undo, to undermine. So worth the mention that familiarity was also a key to their unbelief. It's kind of a, we know him, we know his family, he's the chippy's son, weren't they? He did a trade here in town, we know him. It's all that familiarity sort of starting to sort of come through. We know his brothers and sisters. That's right, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Mary went on to have children, okay? So just some of those popular thoughts out there about Jesus being a single child. The Bible doesn't bring that out at all. So, it's the tall poppy syndrome. Who's heard of the tall poppy syndrome? I remember a guest speaker that came to, you probably know her too, Cindy Jacobs. She had come to Australia, and of course she's a great prophetic voice in the nations, and she came, and she came to our leadership down there at Victory as well, and she was talking. She says, we have a saying in America. It's called crabs in the bucket. She said it's when people who are in leadership get pulled down by those that we call it the crabs in the bucket syndrome, and pulling down to size. Someone who's in a position is pulled back down to, in Australia, and we told her, we said, actually, we in Australia, we call that the tall poppy syndrome, where people need to be cut down to size lest they get too big for their boots. And there's plenty of people around who will accommodate on that. But some make the mistake of thinking that they lift themselves up by pulling others down. It doesn't work. The truth is if we undermine ourselves when we get caught up in criticism, speaking against those that have been called to fulfill roles and functions in the body of Christ. And you know, there's an old saying that says, if you throw dirt, you lose nothing but ground. It's true. It affects you more so than the person that you're throwing dirt at. And notice the end result. Just notice the end result there. And then Jesus told them, a prophet is without honour in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own household. So he could not perform many miracles there. Look at that, offence. He could not perform many miracles there, except to lay hands on a few of the sick and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And he went around from village to village, teaching the people. So he just went on from there, just went on teaching. You just go on teaching. You know, that's the thing to do, you know, whenever you encounter these things, just go on teaching, helping people get up and get out of where they found themselves. He was amazed at their unbelief. You know, in that synagogue in his hometown, the negativity that led to offence and then to unbelief toward Jesus prevented Jesus from doing all that he could have done otherwise because of that blockage, because of that hindrance. I like something that I heard Sean Bolt say just recently. It's our narrative inside our head. In other words, the story that we allow in our head is mostly written by negativity we've experienced. Stuff from the past. Some people have an authority issue. How many of you know what I'm talking about? An authority issue where authority have done them wrong, so authority will always do them wrong. And it's like a negative experience. Look what he says, Sean Bolts. He says, that's why we have to renew our mind daily to what the Word says. The Word's always the answer. Going back to the Word, finding what the Word says, and making sure that that's the thing that we feed on. The Holy Spirit helps to change your narrative. As you know, we've been around the Word of God for a long time. You know, more than 30 years. Been around the Word of God. 36 years this year. And you know what? I still need to renew my mind. Don't get lazy renewing your mind. It's a daily habit. It's something we need to do all the time. You know, just because you've been around a bit and you know a few scriptures and you can quote some scriptures, don't forget you need to renew your mind to the Word of God daily, because otherwise another narrative will come in there that's not of God. Amen. Another narrative. The fix is always in the Word. The medicine for rotten, stinking thinking. All right? Rotten, stinking thinking. The remedy, the medicine for rotten, stinking thinking is the Word of God. Don't ever forget that. You know, of course, we ask the question, how do we apply the fix? Well, it's thought management. Watching your thoughts, watching what you choose to dwell on. It's in the Bible, thought management. Martin Luther said this, is you cannot stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from nesting there. That's a good saying, isn't it? I think I put it up there too. There it is. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and arguments. Those arguments that go on in your mind. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought. That's thought management. Just, oh, what am I going to think on? Someone rubs you the wrong way at work. What are you going to think on? Someone's been opposing you. Someone's done the wrong thing by you. What are you going to do? Are you going to do the Word? I know. I'm human as well. I know. It's a decision. We've got to really commit to do the word. But some of us need to do some casting down, checking those thoughts, checking those meditations that we allow, what we meditate on, making wise decisions about what we meditate on and what we speak out, because we can speak the problem or we can speak the answer. And you know, we're only going to speak the answer if you've been around the word and we've actually located the word that actually covers that situation, and then we boldly start to speak that into our lives and into that situation. And some of us just need to go off into the toilet quietly, calm yourself down and say the word. Just start speaking the word right in the middle of the situation. If it's conflict or crisis or whatever, just got to stop yourself and get in there and do it. And it'll make a difference straight away. I like Psalm 19:14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You know, we need to be saying what God says. And we need to be allowing his meditations to be our meditations. You know, that colleague at work who irritates us that we can't help but want to avoid. Or even worse, a bully that you encounter. You know, you can encounter bullies even in the business world if you're working for yourself. Or people that we encounter who are toxic. Toxicity, you know, where they're just downright mean and nasty, you know. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Because it's not just you, it's we have those experiences ourselves. Doesn't mean that we cannot have boundaries. And, you know, most workplaces now have real anti-bullying, anti-discrimination, all of those kind of policies are written into the, you know, the way that you work, your policies and procedures. But it's important to have boundaries as well. I heard a saying recently that said, givers should have boundaries because takers don't have boundaries. So we should have boundaries. We should be able to establish what we will and what we won't do. We need to have those boundaries. And you know, it's okay just to walk away and put distance between yourself and someone who's maybe rubbing you the wrong way, doing the wrong thing by you. You know, it's okay to say that's enough. You're allowed to do that. Being a Christian does not mean that we have to be a doormat for people to tread all over. I really believe that, you know, Christians ought to also stand up and say, no, that's wrong. Call out wrong. You know, the Bible makes provision for us to turn the other cheek. Absolutely. But there's also a point in which we can say, no, that's wrong, and call something out as being wrong. The Bible even makes provision for us to be angry. Gives us a time limit for anger as well. You know, there's a boundary on how long you can be angry for. Did you know that? Yeah. Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, I like that, danger, anger. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So you get a little angry, don't let it go for 2 days. That's outside of the scripture. Get a little angry, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it. Forgive if you have to forgive. Let go of a grief or an offence towards someone. Let go before the sun goes down. Amen. A little bit dangerous because we start to allow that root of bitterness to get in there and actually take root in our lives. That's not good. Amen. Not good at all. I like this scripture here. It says, the same passage, we just go back and read it. It says, look what it says, a great instruction for us all. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4, 23 to 32. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, that place where we process these things, our thinking. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That word place is a Greek word, topos, and it speaks of ground. Don't give territory to the enemy. How do you give territory to the enemy? Get angry and sin. Get angry and sin in your anger. And I know, because I've done it. Had to ask the Lord to forgive me as well. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down. Never give place to the devil. Because, you know, when we do that, we give him ground. And we don't want to do that. Amen? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needs. In other words, do right things. Do right things in the sight of the Lord. And I like it. It goes on. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Not talking about being corrupt, you know, trying to bribe a police officer or anything like that. It's not talking about that corruption. Bad, putrid language in our mouths. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Notice that grieving the Holy Spirit is in the context of our communication and what we speak and say. You want to grieve the Holy Spirit in a hurry? Start speaking the wrong things. Start speaking against rather than lifting up. You watch. You'll sense the grieving of the Spirit very, very quickly. Look what it says. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you. And be you with all malice, and be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's good news. That's not only good news, but that's great instruction for all of our lives and the way that we behave around difficult, adverse circumstances and situations, speaking the answer, not the problem, lifting up, making sure that we you know, not getting bitter and angry, full of wrath and, you know, evil speaking, and put it all away from you with all malice. Get rid of it. It's not good for us, not good for our lives. If you're going to get over into unforgiveness quickly and you don't know where to start, if you're going to get over unforgiveness quickly and you don't know where to start, here is the quickest way to get your victory. Pray for them. Because it's usually all of the stuff comes out of our conflicts with those around us. Hopefully not in the church, sometimes in the workplace or in our families and in our big life. Not just our church life, but our big life. Someone on the road cuts you off. Pray for them, you know. Someone cuts into the roundabout when they saw you coming. They knew that you were coming. They still cut across you in that roundabout. Who hasn't had that happen? You know, what do? Okay, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Pray for them, Lord. Let them come to church next week, Lord. Teach them how to drive properly. Look what it says in Luke chapter 6. But I say unto you who hear, and we need to hear this, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them who despitefully use you. And unto him that smites you on one cheek, offer also the other, and that he that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Keep calm and love your enemies. That's the difference of Christianity, is that we're called to love in the way that God has loved us in Christ Jesus. And a big part of that is forgiveness. I just say that. A big part of that is forgiving people where they're at. You know, wherever they're at. And that's something that starts with us. That starts with what's in our heart. Letting someone off the hook will just do your heart a lot of good. You know, whoever it is, maybe a family member, someone that you knew, someone that you had business dealings with, or letting people off the hook is so very important for us all to actually do. Not just say that that's something that we should do, but actually do it. Take time. How do you do it? Get into your prayer closet. Get into the place of your prayer. Go to the secret place of the Most High and bring that person before the Lord. And you watch. You can't talk to someone like that without starting to feel like forgiveness. That forgiveness is the thing. You can't do it. It just starts to come. Someone said, fake it until you make it. That sounds a little bit contrived, doesn't it? But no. What I mean is, go in there and into your prayer room, bring that person and say, Lord, I want to bless that person. I want to ask that you bless that person in whatever they're doing. They've offended me, but Lord, I just release them and I forgive them right now in Jesus' name. I'm letting them off the hook, Lord. And you know what? Initially, you're not going to feel any different, but you watch. you bring that up before the Lord. Lord, I just commit this before you now, right now, and I don't hold anything against that person. I'm just letting them go right now in Jesus' name. And you watch. The feeling will come. Once you do it, the feeling will come. The thing is, we don't want to do it. That's it, isn't it? We don't want to do that. We're kind of letting our flesh and our anger have its way, and we don't want to pray for them. But the scriptures are really clear. Jesus gave us the answer. What we've got to do is do it. And you watch, the solution will come. You know, a heart and bringing a message like this is just so that we could all receive as we should. With a guest ministry coming, there'd be no blockages, no hindrances from us receiving from the Lord all that he has for us. And even for those that are around us, you know. That, you know, we'd have that such a clarity of spirit that we'd even know who we should be inviting along and watch the Lord bless, affect not just people, but their lives as well and people around them as they go out with a testimony. I got saved because of testimony. The guy that spoke to me about the things of God and invited me to come to know the Lord, he had such a bad heroin addiction. Such a bad heroin addiction. And I knew it and he knew it and we talked about it and et cetera, et cetera. But God healed him instantly of that when he got saved. And he knew it and he told everybody he knew about it as well. And not only that, but he started going to that church because, that church where I got saved in, he started going to that church because someone else who had been prayed for, gave their hearts to the Lord, came to the same church and got healed of their heroin addiction. And you know what? I tell you what, God is so good. He's willing and ready to receive you and receive you, you know, in, you know, whatever it is that you have and actually heal you of those things, addictions or whatever. But the testimony that goes out reaches a lot of people. And, you know, we need to be praying and believing that we'd have we'd be able to receive from the Lord as we ought. Amen. And be looking around for those around us who need to hear that gospel message. You know, it's not just about people being healed and so they don't have to go to hospital anymore. It's not about that. It's about Jesus being glorified. You know, Jesus, the name of Jesus being lifted up as an answer and a solution in this day and age. Still, the risen Lord Jesus that heals still today. Amen. So let's be praying about that this week. Let's be those people that are doing that. Obviously, I just encourage you just to be understanding next week as we come into a guest ministry, understanding if there's people, someone sitting in your seat, don't again, bless God, oh, that's my seat, or your favourite seat or whatever. Just be really flexible and ready to just receive from the Lord. The Lord's, I believe, going to do wonderful things in our midst through the wonderful guest ministry of John Mellor, and I encourage you to be a part of it, encourage you to be praying this week over it. Of course, I look forward for the many testimonies that will come out of it. Amen. God bless you all. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today, Lord God, as we close this service, Father. We thank you that we're a people that love your word. We love your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and of course, we love our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask right now, even as we close in prayer, Lord, that you would help us search our own hearts. If there's any area, Lord God, of a root of bitterness that's gotten in, maybe toward others, maybe toward someone. Lord, we ask that you would help us. We ask today, Lord God, that you would help us pinpoint that area. Lord, help us get over it. Help us come to you with it, because that's the way to get over it. Father, come to you with it, Lord God, and just release them, forgive them. Even if we're not talking to them, Lord God, or even have any communication with them, Lord God, help us just to let them off the hook. Because, Lord God, that sets us free. And, Lord God, also, as we pray for them, Lord, you're able to bless them as well. And, Lord, we want people blessed. We want people in our lives blessed. And, Father, help us, Lord God. Help us with the feelings. Help us with the emotions. Lord, help us to see, Lord God, that we need to forgive everyone, just as you did, Lord, just as you did in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we ask your blessing. Ask your blessing as we dismiss today, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you that if anyone's just struggling with just the stubbornness of their own thoughts and life, Father, Lord, that you would help them with it, Lord, right now. Help them process that and make the decision to let it go, to forgive. Lord, we ask these things today in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.